Now, what is Moody's Man? Not man, Moody's Man. We're Moody's Mammon.
Yep.
We're Moody's Men. But this is about magazine on RTR. Yakai, good morning. This is Moody's Mag on RTR FM 92.1 Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM in Menang Country, Albany. So if you've just tuned in, Jodie's here today.
Hello, Jim.
There you go, Jodie.
I feel like I'm a kid again and I'm on the little stool at the corner of the table, like really lower than everyone.
Hey, come on, raise
hoping it. There's some food left for me at the end of this.
Raise your chair. You can do that. Yeah. Moody's Mag, a weekly program, good stories from our First Nation peoples. And, of course, today we're talking Rua. We're talking Rua. I don't even know what that means, but we've got some amazing people from Rua who are going to talk to us about their service provision in the broader community, but more specifically for First Nation peoples on Menang. Menang. I don't think you're down in Menang, down Albany, but on Whadjuk country. And, I'm looking forward to this yarn.
And I think, you know, people are going, Rua, I've heard that name before. Where have I heard that name? And I think that in the last 6 months they've probably heard it when it's been in the news quite a lot about the Safe Night Shelter, which actually closed for about 6 months. Women who would use that shelter escaping from domestic violence, it was closed down. There was a bit of a tit-for-tat between the Perth City Council and the state government. So the good news was it is up and running again as of about a month ago. So if people are going, Rua, where do I know that from? Well, you're not only going to learn what the meaning of Rua is today on Moody's Mag, but you're still going to find out the good news about it reopening.
That'll be great. Now, we won't give too much away because the experts are here from Rua. Experts are here yarning about Rua and Carl Beck and of course, Deborah is. We're not introducing you just yet. We're going to get him a song first. just get relaxed here and enjoy the ambience of RTR FM and their studio here at Mount Lawley.
Ah, Jim, a bit of funk starting off Moody's Mag for this week. What a great sound. The Andrew Gurrawiwi Band, a high-energy eight-piece funk band who have honed their chops on the beach at Brit Jeremy and in the dirt of Yukala, a remote Northern Territory community in northeast Arnhem Land. And good sound. I think we should play them a bit more here on the Moody's Mag program. They're led by a fellow by the name of Andrew Gurrawiwi, a shy but extravagant blind guitar wielding Yolngu elder with a passion to make people dance while sharing his culture. They write real funk jams in their native tongue, Yolngu Mata. It's beautiful, huh?
Oh, wasn't it deadly? Wouldn't it be nice to be up there now, probably 30, 40 degrees or something, and it's freezing cold down here with rain and an extra cold day yesterday. And Deborah and Gail were dancing around there to that. Oh, it's getting warm here. Deborah Zanella and Gail Becker in the studio from Rua. Good morning, ladies. How are you?
Good morning.
Lovely to get you in the studio. Hey, look, we've been trying for weeks to get you here, and now that you're here, I don't know what to say.
Gail's never short for a word.
I'm sure you will find something, Jim. I'm sure you will, and then I won't know what to say.
Good on you. Look, thanks so much for coming in. Rua is an amazing organisation, and they've been around for a long time. So before we get any further, Deborah, who's your mob? Where are you from?
Well, my mob is actually Italian, so I'm from the north of Italy. I'm one of five. My 89-year-old mum lives with us just around the corner, actually. She's making dinner tonight as we speak. Mum, if you're listening to this, don't forget to breadcrumb the chicken.
really?
Yeah. And I'm first generation. I was born here in 19... Well, a long time ago now. I thought I was going to stop doing that, actually.
We won't go there.
Yeah, that's my mob.
Good. Gail Beck, you've been on the radio program at Moody's Mag before. You're a real great old stick to come around and be a guest. And as I say, we've been trying for a while. Gail, welcome. Who's your mob? Where are you from?
Thank you so much, Jim, for your lovely introduction. Old stick, I love it.
it's
so
in a
you must
way.
Be a broom, maybe. Anyhow, Gail Beck, my mob are the Riders. Bundaran was removed from Noangarup and put into New Norcia. Married John Ryder, a juvenile convict, and here we are, all the Ryder mob. So I'm really pleased to be here. Thank you.
Gail, Deborah, You're working at Rua. Yeah. Give us a bit of a background. What is Rua? What do they do? I mean, Jody sort of let the cat out of the bag about the women's shelter, but tell us a bit more about Rua, how it was set up and how long it's been going.
So we've been, I mean, Rua, like many of the older organisations, so we're about 65 years old. We were actually started by the Daughters of Charity back in 1959 in WA when they came over from the East and recognised that there were people on the street, hungry, homeless, and there were women escaping violence. So, in fact, they set up the first drop-in centre for people that were homeless in Northbridge and one of the first refuges in Perth to assist women and their children who were escaping family domestic violence. So the word Rua is actually from the Hebrew, from their own sort of story, and it means spirit, wind, breath, air.
Oh.
So the concept of being rejuvenated, being, you know, the sense of hope and spirit that's so important in the work that we do. So that's the story of Rua.
Deborah, you said Northbridge there. It sounds like Bungee Park.
Bungee Park, yes.
Okay.
Russell Square.
Yeah. Don't ask me why they call it Bungee Park.
I don't know why they call it Bungee Park.
Okay, so Soup Kitchen.
We're not sharing.
Sharing. Soup Kitchen is what, that's how it kicked
yeah,
off.
Yeah, it did. It started off as a soup kitchen. And interestingly enough, Jim and Jody, when I was 18, which is only a few years ago, my mum and I used to make the soup. And as volunteers. So it's kind of been quite a lovely complete circle to now have the privilege of being the CEO. But I've always been in the area providing services to people experiencing homelessness. So while we are kind of hell-bent on trying to end homelessness, you know, it has always been a present story, but we're seeing an increase in the number of people that are experiencing homelessness. We're seeing more working poor than we've ever seen. So people who are literally in their cars coming into the drop-in centre, what we call our engagement hub, getting some support, getting in their cars and going, sleeping in their cars and then going to work. So it's the last 3 to 4 years we've seen an increasing number of people. And really, with the housing shortage, it's been difficult to say there's actually nothing more we can do for you.
Right. And just listening to Linda Burney this morning, she's giving up with politics and not standing again. And I suppose we could say that our First Nation people in Australia have been homeless ever since Captain Cook arrived.
Correct.
So it's probably a big, big ask to look at homelessness for our mob. At this stage, I want a big shout out to John Girardi and Cheryl Carmody, who were probably around that soup kitchen at some point.
They were there when I was volunteering, actually, Jim. They were the first sort of the daughters handed over to them, and what they did in terms of they were pioneers, they were visionaries, I think the fact that Rua is still as it is today is a testament to John and Cheryl's work.
Right. Cheryl and I go way back. She was a social work graduate when we kicked off St Norbert's. Which is now Dubbal Yerrigan Health Service. And Cheryl was a social work student and came on board. And, so a lot of good memories. I mean, her working at Rua Mercy Care and, So Rua, okay, breath of fresh air. Breath of fresh air, Jodie. These women here, their breath is fresh air.
You know, I want to talk about the soup kitchen and what it was like growing up, you know, with a mum who cared enough to, you know, go home to a kitchen, I presume, and cook up a feed for people in the park, because where we are at the Aboriginal Legal Service, we're right up the top end of Aberdeen Street, and I think it used to be East Perth, but they call it Perth now, but we're right next to MacGyver train station, so you can't walk in the front door to go to work without seeing how tough people are doing it up in that area. Really significant area for mob as well, of course, the East Perth region. But people are doing it tough. People are, you know, working 1 week, homeless the next, couch surfing. And I'm wondering, you know, in the 65 years that Rua has been running and the years that you've been involved, Gail and Deborah, how the increase of services and the demand for your services has increased, because it's a pretty bleak picture for a lot of people on the streets, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And I'm kind of like, I probably can't say it, but I'm going to say it, new kid on the block, 2 years. But I had a lot to do with Rua in the early days. And funny enough, I've done a complete circle like Deb. I work with them to help them produce the Aboriginal Resource Directory that Rua is well known for.
Yes.
And then when I was asked to
come and have a yarn with Deb. I thought, wow, yeah, I want to work here. And because they cover all the areas that were always, you know, part of what where I wanted to give back, and the fact that I've got lived experience in DV, mental health. Sometimes I have mental health problems. Not really, I'm only joking.
I think we
but
all
Jim
do.
Might.
Catwar. Yeah. No, we won't talk about your catwarness.
But also, most importantly, the homelessness. And the fact that a lot of it's not anyone's problem, and it can happen to any of us at a stroke of a pen or whatever. And like Deb said, it's just grown. And I just really hope, I hope I don't get all emotional. I just really hope that one day we can all work better together, because there are a lot of agencies who are protecting their patch instead of embracing each other so we can do this so much better.
I'd actually like to congratulate Rua on the Aboriginal Resources Directory. I know we use it a lot at the Aboriginal Legal Service. For anyone working in community services, you need to download this from the Rua website. It has so much information. Gail?
Can I just say, if you are a new organisation, an ACCO, or have a business or whatever, get in touch with us so we can put it in the resource.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So it basically means you've got services on accommodation, emergency services, health, a whole range of things that is categorised by topic, and you can point people in the right direction. So if you're working in an organisation, someone walks in and says, oh, look, you know, I haven't got a healthcare card, or I haven't got anywhere to live, or I'm hungry, you can go, okay, here's our resources, and you can refer on to certain agencies.
We're looking to expand it into businesses as well, so fantastic. That we can connect Aboriginal the business, business. Yeah. Aboriginal businesses, sorry.
Well, the Rua ladies have just stepped in. We're going to be here for a while, you know. And Jodie's talking about the Aboriginal Legal Service. If you didn't know, Jodie works at the Aboriginal Legal Service when she's not volunteering to come in and step in.
With the support of the ALS, I might say. So that's
with
a
Nick's
good
not
thing.
Around. Or Tony's down at Carrick Curry at the moment. And Nick, of course, is up to his ears with assignments. He's doing his PhD. Isn't that great? So, look, we might go to a song. Look, stay tuned. We got Deborah and Gail from Rua, and we've got a lot to talk about apart from homelessness, mental health issues, and domestic violence. Let's go to a song.
The beautiful, late, dearly loved Archie and Ruby, and a beautiful version of Down City Streets that was recorded live at the Wireless to commemorate the 25th anniversary of Charcoal Lane, which was the debut album for Archie Roach, the album that brought us, took the children away. Talking about growing up off the streets in Fitzroy in Melbourne, doing it rough, hanging out in alleys. Two people just doing it really tough who found each other, found love, and changed Australia through song. I know most of us in the room have been blessed to, if not have just seen Archie and Ruby over the years, to have met them personally and been so blessed and touched by the really special people that they were. So loved, hey Jim?
Ah, so true. And of course I remember 20th anniversary of the Bring Them Home report. We had Archie down the road doing a big concert to a house full of Stolen Generation people. Much love in the room there. Welcome back. Mudish Mag here on 92.1 Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM, Minang Country. Of course, RTR, FM and Noongar Radio on Whadjuk Country. Welcome back, Deborah and Gail.
Thank you. It's lovely to have you two in here. We've got to get some photos. Look at the red background. It's a real solid red background. That's I don't know. It's soundproof, I suppose, or so you don't knock your head up against a wall. And we do that sometimes, don't we, Jodie?
Oh, we do. All the time.
So, Deborah, you've been there a couple of years at Rua and have taken over. You've on the shoulders of some giants there.
I am definitely on the shoulders of giants, Jim.
Cheryl and John, remember them well, and they can't lay down, those two. They're always up and about doing something. So, okay, so homelessness is a challenge, and I must say I parked in just down the road and saw a number of our mob walking along the street there. They're obviously going back to a squat somewhere. So what are the challenges then? I mean, do you support our mob getting into housing? How does that work then? So you have some real serious issues, and obviously, and that relates to domestic violence and those sorts of issues. So What is the process then for
Japanese
your
meditator girl? So I think look, in the and I kind of do want to recognise that you know, First Nations people are disproportionately overrepresented in the areas of homelessness and particularly and family and domestic violence, and what we've learnt from working in a way that's culturally appropriate, and what we've learnt from international work is that people, any of us, can experience homelessness. There's a really fine line that creates homelessness for people. Even though we think it's a certain type of person, the reality is it doesn't discriminate from demographics or cultural background. And I think one of the things that we've learnt, certainly at RUA in the work that we did in the 50 Lives, 50 Homes project, is that shelter is a human right, housing is a human right, and when you actually provide people the choice of where they want to live in permanent housing and provide them the support, remarkably, they become healthier, they become more well, they manage their own lifestyles. But if you are street present and you are a diabetic, you have got nowhere to store your insulin. You've got nowhere to keep fruit and vegetables. And so the health conditions that are impacted on upon by being street present and being homeless or couch surfing, having a lack of security of tenure. And we know in the First Nations world, overcrowding, issues of overcrowding, discrimination compound the issue of homelessness. I do think of all the social problems in a country like ours, we can actually end homelessness. I think family and domestic violence is a little different, the drivers of those things. In fact, the leading cause of women in homelessness is family and domestic violence. But, you know, the adequate supply, ongoing long-term supply of affordable housing for people and permanent housing is really critical. What we've learned from MOB in some of the work that we do at RUA in our Wongi Maya project is that this is one of the great learnings from Aboriginal people, that you are working with the family, not just the individual who is homeless, who is experiencing homelessness. And that has been a really important part of the work that we that was spun out of the 50 Lives when we looked at the success rate for Aboriginal people and non-Aboriginal people. Well, what's different? What needs to change? And so we looked at that and developed a program called Wongi Maya, which works with an extended family group to ensure that the person we're working with stays housed. So that's been really good learnings for us. And the thing I would say as a non-Aboriginal agency, Jim, is that my job is to ensure that for Aboriginal people who choose to come and for their services at RUA, that we provide as well as we can the best culturally appropriate service for those who want to work with RUA, and for those who don't, then we find them the most appropriate Aboriginal service or other service that's required.
There's a couple of numbers here too that people can ring if they are in need. The entry point is 6496-0001 or 1800-124-684. Deborah, 50 Homes, 50 Lives. What does that all mean? How'd that come about?
Yeah, so there was a project that we started nearly 10 years ago, and it was based on the kind of the current system, which is if you've been homeless or you've been couch sleeping or you haven't got secure tenure, you'd be on a public housing wait list, you'd get a house, whatever came up, you'd be put into the house, and then 60% of those people would return to homelessness. So there was this constant cycling. And the work and the research that came out of the US was that, in fact, the thing that makes the difference is that if we stop thinking about homelessness as a problem of accommodation and really one of support and shelter, then placing someone in a permanent as long-term accommodation or permanent accommodation, but somewhere where you'd want to live, Jim, not somewhere where I stick you. If you've been on the street and we stick you in a five-bedroom house out the back of, I don't know, wherever, and yet your connection was to a group of people that you were living with, it's not unlikely, it's not surprising that you're not going to succeed in that tenancy. So that was the work of 50 Lives, and the Sisters of St John of God funded it. We were able to produce 8 years of evidence. And it has been a bit of a game changer in WA to say that actually what we now call housing first, which is house people, put the support around them, give them choice, agency and autonomy about where they want to live and what kind of service they require and give them ongoing support. And what we saw was that 85% of the people in the 50 Lives, 50 Home projects retain their tenancy, which is double the historical amount. So it's now kind of a mainstream government service that's been sort of mainstreamed into government.
Right. We're talking to Deborah Zanella and Gail Beck from Zua.
Zua.
Dua.
Zua. Dua. Zua. Dua.
Rua meaning God of breath. Breath of God.
Breath
of
spirit.
God. Now, once you get people housed, of course, what's the challenge then? You say there's a wraparound, joined up approach. Who then do you tap into for getting people into jobs or education, or are there other resources that you work closely with?
Yeah, so we work, you know, the first is to help people stabilise into their accommodation. So we work with lots of service providers within the sector because lots of service providers now run Housing First, and it will be, you know, ensuring that the kind of three key areas for people are often drug and alcohol, mental health and chronic physical health, so diabetes, renal failure, respiratory diseases. Legal issues are a significant issue for them, fines. So we try to sort out those kind of crisis issues and then look at their level of wellness and then them make some self-determination. Is it employment through TAFE that we link them through? So as much of the wraparound. That's the ideal, Jim and Jody. The reality is that, you know, the homelessness sector, you know, whilst we've had significant investments by state government, in particular this government under this minister, the need, as I think the minister would say, far exceeds what we can provide. And particularly for people that, you know, you referred to before that you saw on Beaufort Street, some of your mob who have been experienced rough sleeping for lots of years. There's no magic bullet. It takes work and it takes time for that healing to occur. But I think what we've seen is that it actually works, and people can go on to have a good life.
Right.
And it's you know, it is that holistic approach that's required. You can't just go, someone needs a house, here's some bricks and mortar, and, you know, get on with your life, everything's going to be fine. Because, you know, we see that working at the LS. I keep talking about the LS, but the situations and the clients that we're working with on a daily basis often face the same things. You know, they're highly disadvantaged, you know, probably some of the most disadvantaged people in Western Australia. And, there has to be an outcome for it.
And the shout out to places like, you know, Durbel and Yorgham and Wunjining who and your mob, Aboriginal people, have taught us that you can't just look at one dimension. I don't know where we lost this in translation. I'm not just a person who's got a mental health issue. I'm a person.
Yeah.
And attending to all of those elements of life.
And quite often they go hand in hand, whether it's mental health or housing or homelessness or family and domestic violence, the need for legal services. I mean, you know, you guys, you assist over about 3,000 people a year, don't you?
Yeah, if not more, actually.
Wow. That's phenomenal, yeah.
If you just tuned in to RTR, Murish Mag, Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM, 0405 921 921 is our number. If you want to give these ladies a bit of a praise, 0405 921 921. Look, it takes me back to 94 when I worked the streets myself, setting up the Noongar Outreach Service, Noongar Patrol, and recognising then that there are too many silos. Has that changed a great deal? I mean, it sounds like you have some amazing partners that weren't around then, back in 94. Or are there still challenges? Are you looking to create new partnerships?
Okay, I might be a little bit politically incorrect, but you know me, Jim, I do that. I firmly believe there are still too many silos. And like I said earlier, a bit, you know, protecting your patch because they're going for the same sort of funding or same service or something. But my thoughts are, and have always been working in this space for a long time, not necessarily with RUA, collectively we're a force. So why wouldn't we do that? And I'm also going to say this shouldn't be a problem in this state, particularly for our mob. Our homes were taken from us from the beginning, as you said, Jim. And seriously, let's just do the right thing. And I'm going to put a shout out to the Department of Communities, the housing section. Some of our people have been renting their Department of Housing homes for over 40 years. They would have paid it off tenfold. Just give it to them. why can't you just give it to them? There's a whole heap of lands also, because I travel around a bit in my past role. Why can't you just allow our people to build? You know, I just don't understand. I'm feeling Gail Sinnick back. The will is not there to do this, and it really concerns me that they want to bring more immigrants into this state when we can't look after our own.
Ooh, I think, fighting words there.
But I think it's a really good point. If you look at the wealth of this state, it was built off the blood, sweat and tears of our mob for unpaid wages, slavery.
Yes.
You know, this is a wealthy state built off of our mob.
Yeah, stick around. 0405921921 is our text line. Send in a message to Deborah and Gail and agree or disagree, but this is Muri Shmei. We're going to go to a song and come back and talk to the people from Rua. Not Jua, Rua.
Or Zua.
Or Zua.
Ah, Glenn Scope up there. Oh, great song.
My name is.
Look, we should be playing more of his music. He's a wonderful musician. And
from New South Wales.
New South Wales.
What's the pronunciation? Gooduga? Gooduga?
Gooduga? Yes.
Gooduga?
Yes, I thought Palawa from Tassie, but that'll do. It's all East Coast anyway.
Kind of.
We're a long way from these.
That's such a WA comment. So. This is Mudich Mag on 92.1 FM. Jody and Jim in the studio with you this morning, joined by Gail Beck and Zebra Zanella from Rua. And, it's great having a yarn. And, look, talking about all that homeless stuff, and I'm sure that, unfortunately, most people listening into the program, if not having experienced homeless, would know of somebody who has experienced it or is who doing it rough. That's unfortunately the world we live in now, isn't it?
Mm.
So the challenges of women and escaping violence, domestic violence, had it came to a head when you were refused the service? How did that come about and how did you overcome it?
So we'd had a pilot project with the City of Perth to run a safe night space, because what we were seeing is that, in terms of street presence, everyone is vulnerable if you're living on the street. Women are highly vulnerable to sexual assaults and rape and other acts of violence. And so there really is very little around for a safe space for women at night. And so we trialled it in the City of Perth. They were, good enough to extend it. We worked hard to try and get an alternative location when the then property was no longer available to us. I won't revisit traumatic wounds, but to say, I suppose, that I'd love to be in a world where we did not need a safe night space to shelter women at night, but unfortunately the reality is not so. And so it would lead to a protracted process for us to continue to advocate for the need of this service, which we, as you know, I think Jodie spoke to Elsie yesterday, that we opened up just over 4 weeks ago at our current engagement hub. And obviously, as the pipeline of more housing comes on board, investments, both nationally and state, hope that some of the demand decreases. But I think we also have to be really aware that the leading driver of homelessness for women is family violence, and children is family. The reason children are street present or couch sleeping is to escape family violence and trauma. So there's still a lot to be done, Jim and Jody, and we're just playing our part in solving and trying to solve it.
Interesting conversation. If you'd like to pick up this conversation, you might be able to do that later on today. 165 podcasts we've done, Jodie.
That's extraordinary. 165. I was counting up the, because the A-list does Law Matters each fortnight on Noongar Radio, and we've been going for 14 years and we've only done about 190.
Yeah, so big shout out. Thanks for, someone saying it's great to have a holistic approach to services. So thank you for your comments. Yeah, Deborah and Gail talking about Rua. So you've been there a couple of years too, Gail.
Yes, I have. And I'm really excited about what's on the agenda going forward. So my role is kind of like, I'm just going to be cheeky here. My role is assimilating Rua to our way of thinking.
Whoa.
And which I'm really excited about. It's not going to happen overnight, but it will happen. And also there's a project that I'm working on, and it's for our Aboriginal Women's Refuge, and that, you know, watch this space. And that particular refuge was the first refuge for Aboriginal women. And that's just wonderful. And again, it probably came about by the same people who started the soup kitchen as well. And ALS, it was AMS at the time, and the fellowship were all part of creating this in a voluntary way. And it's still there. And so I won't give away my plans because I need to be nice here because I have to go and speak to people. But I'm really excited about that project. Yeah. And hopefully we can, you know, other people can see it working extremely well and just recreate it around this state.
And look, that's just, you know, that's good ways of working, isn't it? When you look at, what are we, 3% of the population, we're overrepresented on the streets, in family and domestic violence, in the prisons, in the court systems, everywhere, for that minute percentage of mob that we make up across the country. So it only makes sense that all organisations who are working in this area are equipped to work with mob and with anyone from any racial background, really.
Absolutely.
One of our listeners has said, I totally agree with Gail's suggestion that handing over title of Homes West or public housing homes to long-standing Aboriginal tenants, time to pay the rent, he says. Whoa.
Yay.
0405921921 if you have any thoughts about what Deborah and Gail are saying there at Rua. And, so other challenges, I guess, with cultural safety. And there's some interesting suggestions. Cultural safety, trauma informed. Are they some of the things you're tossing around as to how you address First Nation issues or people that come into your services?
Yeah, I think that, you know, you talked about John and Cheryl, they were at the forefront all those years ago, Jim. But it's a constant, I think, being open and learning what it means to look at something from an Aboriginal lens does require us to, I think one of the fundamental things that it requires for me as a Wadjala leader, as a Bridia, is to actually challenge my own bias and my own prejudice. And so working hard in the cultural space as a Wadjala organisation requires us to challenge the way we view the world, and to be okay about the fact that we have bias, but to name it and claim it and then actually engage in genuine relationship and genuine hearing. I think what mob have taught me, and Aboriginal people, is that relationships take time because they're based on trust. But once they are there, they are solid. Mm. And so if we can create a sense where Aboriginal people coming to Rua feel that the relationship is genuine, feel that they'll be treated with respect, but also that we will be open to being challenged in our own behaviour and our own attitudes. And I know that the staff at Rua just love working with Gail, and that Gail's presence in the organisation has signified so much more than the fact that she's an executive. It's become almost a beacon of, no, of hope that we can become a better and better culturally appropriate organisation.
Gail Beckham.
Thanks, Jim.
Somebody said to me once, look, or told a service provider, look, once we have 6 cups of tea, you know, over 6 weeks, 6 months, maybe then we'll develop a relationship. But that's what it's all about, isn't it? It's developing those relationships, understanding the issues as our first peoples feel. I mean, I guess that's across the board. You know, if you're homelessness, the issues you deal with. And I suppose we've really got to come, what it really comes down to is the cost effectiveness. And we have an organisation called Social Reinvestment, or the issues around the costs of homelessness, the costs of domestic violence. When are we going to learn?
Can I jump in?
You may.
Come on, Gail.
Never stopped you. Yeah.
Look, Jim and Jody and Deb, you know, this has always been really important to me in my self. And again, you know, I don't want to keep, you know, smashing heads with people, but a lot of this can be achieved, you know. And again, I keep saying, if the will was there, it would all be achieved. You know, I just can't get past that. And I don't know how to get past that. I really want to, but I am not seeing the leadership in those that hold the purse strings for organisations that are doing wonderful things, for organisations who are doing wonderful things on the smell of an oily rag. Why aren't we building them up? And you're right, Jim, the costs for those, for all the incarcerations, the costs for all the poor health, the costs for all the poor education, why aren't you listening to us and those working with us? Because we've always had the solutions, and it's time to do some serious deep listening and walk with us, because I'm not seeing it. And that's the real sad part about it, because these aren't my words. These are the words my elders shared with me to continue that fight.
Sounds like we need a voice. Oh, I've been down that road before. Let's not talk about the voice.
No.
Look, 0405 921 921. You're tuned in to Murrish Mag, 92.1 Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM. And we're talking to some to people at RUA. I'll get that right this time, Deborah and Gail. So the future then, what is going to happen with your organisation? How many staff do you have? Are you growing? Are you... what's the go with RUA? It sounds like you're doing marvellous work. And are you being rewarded by the funding organisations who acknowledge the work you do?
I think, unfortunately, we have been growing. So there's almost a flip side to the growth, in the sense that it tells me that the demand far exceeds what we can provide. You know, we all talk about in the sector, I'd love to do myself out of a job. But whilst, you know, whilst we work towards, never lose sight of that vision that healing and, you know, and wholeness can occur for all peoples, we have a responsibility to ensure that what we provide is the best quality to people who choose to come to us. I'm always reminded that it might be my brother, my sister, or family member of mine or yours that come, and they should expect no less from us than they expect from anybody else that they provide those services to. So I think for RUA, the two things that the board have really charged us with is always provide the best quality support and care you can to a person, and see them as a person and not a symptom. They're not homeless or a family domestic violence. And the second thing, which if you ever read our manifesto, which is on our website, our job is to advocate and change the system if the system is the thing that stops people from having the good life. And I think that's partly what RUA has been known for. It's the work that we did in the 50 Lives. It's the work that we are doing through the RUA Centre for Women and Children. Our job is not just about individual support, which is critical, but we have to change the system if the system continues to hurt people. If the system doesn't deliver that integration, or the system is the barrier, then it's our job. We talk about that, but by the privilege of our birth, we are, you know, you are me and I are you. We are so connected, and that we need all people in order for all of us to flourish.
Deborah, you made the comment that you'd like to do yourself out of a job.
Yeah.
Now, there is a challenge. I mean, how many people work in government that are working there that perhaps shouldn't be there? And how many people are reliant on welfare to the point that they've got a job? That's a challenge, isn't it?
How do we tackle that? Well, and I think there are two things. I always think that the majority of people get up every day to make a difference in the world. I really believe that. I don't believe that people don't. I believe that they do. They get swayed by a whole series of things. But there are some big levers nationally, federally. If we changed income support, we would raise over 700,000 people out of poverty. So if we address the issue of poverty, we solve a whole bunch of homelessness issues, right? So I think, you know, the question is, what are the big levers that we as a society need to pull? And the other question, you know, that really was brought home to me in the Safe Night Spaces, who determines
who belongs and who is excluded from our communities. Mm. Like, what kind of communities do we want to create for our grandchildren and our children? And who gets to make that call? Is it simply the politician, the local politician, the federal politician, or is it the people who actually constitute the community? That's their voice. So I want to be around long enough to create the communities where people, all people, can flourish, but particularly First Nations people who we have, we owe a debt of gratitude, and we owe a life that is, you know, that should be lived, as opposed to the life that we took away from them.
Now, Deborah.
Yes.
You are also co-chair of Reconciliation WA.
Jodie, if you're listening,
we might get a chance. We might get a chance to have a yarn about the challenges there and how that is associated with the organisation you are CEO of. Let's go to a song, and if we get time, or it might just be that we open, leave the door open for another conversation.
That's
Let's
great.
Go to a song. This is Moorish Mag 92.1.
There's a lot of love in the studio this morning, I'm telling you.
A lot of heavy breathing there.
Before that, in all seriousness, we heard the Electric Fields version of From Little Things, Big Things Grow, a song that was co-written by Paul Kelly and Kev Carmody. Been a lot of versions of it over the years, featuring those guys, the Titters. Oh, biggest mob of people have got on stage to collaborate with that, which is fantastic. I'm rushing because we're nearly out of time. There is... not time, unfortunately, today to talk about Reconciliation WA, but we're going to get Deb back in the studio in the near future to talk about that. I do want to let people know that in one day, 13 hours, 31 minutes and 28 seconds, the Olympics will start from Paris. And we've got a lot of athletes over there, so that's exciting. I also want to give a shout out to your co-host, Nick Abraham, who did a beautiful job giving the Welcome to Country at the NAIDOC Ball recently. And we don't have time to do too much more, except thank our beautiful guests in the studio today, Jim.
Deborah Zanella and Gail Beacon. I mean, Beck. thanks for coming in from Rua. It's been a pleasure having you on the...
We have a minute or so. Throwing it back to you, Jim.
Okay, so Deborah, challenges then. There must be heaps of challenges. We didn't even touch on them today. So what's your big aim for the future then?
My big aim is that people actually see people as connected and human. Like, we actually see our shared humanity and that we address this issue of disconnection and loneliness, and we'd be all better off if, through the work that we do, that we recognise that we have a shared humanity.
And Gail?
Mine would be that our people get homes. And that's not unrealistic. I've had arguments with previous ministers and DGs that you took them away. Why can't you just give them back?
Mm. All right. Great. We're out of time, but let's give the number for Rua
yes,
if people
please.
Would like more information. Yep. It's 13 Rua, which is 137824. You can pop into the James Street Engagement Hub of Rua, have a yarn, and seek out their services. Keep them working.
Yes.
Thank you.
Talk again next week on Moorish Mag.